Nobody knows movies quite like Thelma Adams, so we wanted to talk with her about last night's Academy Awards and find out her thoughts on the winners and losers from film's biggest night. This is the way I look at it. If we're going to talk about it, we might as well get paid for it. She's currently a Yahoo contributing editor. Her column, Thelma Adams on Real Women, runs on AMCFilmCritic.com. She was a film critic at Us Weekly for 11 years, from 2000 to 2011, following 6 years at the New York Post. It's a great pleasure to welcome writer and novelist. She also wrote a terrific novel called Playdate. If you check that out, it's out in paperback. It's wonderful. Thelma Adams, thank you very much for being with us.
It is my pleasure. I'm a little froggy today after the big night, but but I can definitely talk.
Is it permissible for me to ask how you spend such an evening as a film critic?
Well, this year was very different than I normally spend it. You know, up until about 2 years ago, I was pretty much like most of America, and I would, you know, put on my pajamas and sit there and just, you know, wing it, you know, just wait it out with everybody else. But yesterday I was in L.A., and Yahoo Movies did a live stream pre- and post-show. So we were on a rooftop not far from that Capitol Records building.
Yeah.
Talking before the Oscars and then watching the Oscars together and talking afterwards.
And the Capitol Records building was where, inexplicably, the musicians that were providing the music for the telecast were also sequestered.
Yeah, sequestered is a good word this week.
So, overall, what did you make of it?
Overall, what did I make of the new show?
All right, let us parse it then. I mean, you wake up this morning and you think, all right, that was fun, or do you wake up and say, that was sort of disappointing?
I woke up today and said, my cold is better. But, you know what? I felt like it had been a good season of movies and a long season of awards.
Yeah.
And I feel like Seth MacFarlane, I thought he had some very funny lines, but was just what I had worried about from the beginning was just a misfire.
Yeah.
And every year, don't we say what we want is for it to be shorter and fewer montages? Every year, and they bring in someone new, and every year we all say, less, do less. And then you have the Bond montage, and you have the, you know, all the stuff that goes on forever. They do, you know, who died this past year, but they never, you know, get all the people right. Although I was really happy that they had Andy Serkis, not happy that Andy Serkis passed, but that he was recognized by the Academy.
Well, it did seem to me, I noted that it wasn't just actors, that they were going for very obscure, they included some very obscure names, and I thought that was very good. Then to have Barbara Streisand come out toward the end, I found a little bizarre when she was supposedly giving a tribute to Marvin Hamlisch and then sang a song not by Marvin Hamlisch, so I sort of didn't really get that.
I don't get that either. you know, for me, do you want to know what the high point, just like the pure high point was?
Yeah.
I love seeing Adele sing Skyfall.
Absolutely. It was thrilling.
It was thrilling, and to see her, like, I haven't seen her in concert, to see her, the way she moves her hands and the way she addresses the audience and how into it she is, whether it's just her singing without, you know, the big band, or then with this huge orchestra and chorus behind her, and yet she's always the central voice. So that, to me, was a high point. And also her acceptance speech was so, like, natural.
Yes. And
not that false humility thing that we're, you know, that's the one thing. Is hubris the same as false humility? Or is that a different word?
We're basically talking only about Anne Hathaway, though, aren't we?
Yes, and we're not going to discuss her wardrobe malfunction, which, you know, this is what I think about that is simply, don't you have friends? You know, she walks in front of the camera and it's like, oh my God. And you would hope that her mom's pretty outspoken. Her mom would have said, Anne?
Yeah, by the
way. Dress?
Yeah.
But you know what? That whole part is loopy. The thing that kind of took me by surprise, which I always have one, at least one blind side in the course of the year. And my blind side was, I just could not wrap my head around a world where Django Unchained is a better screenplay than Zero Dark Thirty. I just, what universe am I in? And I, when I was predicting, I always try to take my bias out.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't accept that thing that I saw would be not raised up as the best original screenplay.
And how much of that do you think is, and this gets into the awards themselves, but how much do you think of that as cult of personality as opposed to the actual writing? Because I agree with you entirely, I must say.
I knew that you would. The thing is, you and I agree with each other, so we don't, I know so many people who look at me strangely because I don't like that movie.
Yeah.
They're like, it's Quentin Tarantino. And that should, like, explain why it's so good. So it's almost like I'm colorblind on that one. I just do not see it. It is cult of personality. I have to say, there, you know, in the original screenplay category, just Zero Dark Thirty to me is a brilliant screenplay. Insanely well researched. You're on the edge of your seat the entire time. Even with Django Unchained, if it was 93 minutes instead of 200, you know, however long it goes on,
yeah, 248.
Beyond having made its point, you know? So, I'm lost on that one. That to me was the real ha moment. Chris Waltz winning Best Supporting Actor, I have no problem with that. I don't see that it's a step forward.
Right.
Because he just won it for Inglourious Basterds, and it's not like this is such a different role.
Yeah, it wasn't all that different, but he seems to be a neat guy, and it is, from what I've seen, sort of the one thing that is likable about the movie. Now, here's a question: when you look at the distribution of awards overall, it seems as though, with the exception of Zero Dark Thirty, that everything kind of got its due in some way, shape, or form. So if you look at Lincoln and you say, all right, well, it Daniel Day-Lewis won, and that's good. Silver Linings Playbook, Jennifer Lawrence won, and Les Miserables won many awards, of course, Anne Hathaway being the lead on that, Life of Pi, Best Director. Amour won Best Foreign Language Film, Django Unchained, of course, Christopher Waltz, and the Screenplay Award. Zero Dark Thirty kind of got screwed, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
It got a tied sound editing award.
Right. With
the other one that did, yeah, too. The Master also got pushed out.
Yeah.
Didn't get any.
Were you a fan of that film? I didn't.
Okay. Straight up.
Yeah.
I wanted to be.
Okay.
Because there are great scenes in it.
And there's some great acting.
It never gels.
Yeah. I wasn't. I had trouble with that film, but.
For a lot of reasons. I mean, it's not, what's the story? You tell me. It goes on. This is another film. It goes on for 200 and something minutes, and you just don't know what's the story? Is it about the master? Is it about his, but great performances, great period mood, some really good scenes. The scene in the department store is great. The scene in the prison is great. I loved Amy Adams. But yeah, it doesn't add up. I am not the ultimate Paul Thomas Anderson fan.
Right. No, I agree with you.
Best actor, I thought that when you talk about best actor, I thought that Daniel Day-Lewis actually delivered the perfect acceptance speech.
I do too. It was funny. It had its moments. And he wasn't as weird as he is sometimes.
He's pretty, he's channeling. He spends most of his time channeling.
Yeah.
Whatever the next role is, and then I almost get this feeling it's he's like an empath that can't stop channeling. So when he's not channeling, he like has to look down and turn it off. Otherwise, he'll just like slip into other people's bodies.
I love asking this question because it obviously has no answer. We'll never really know. But who do you think in that category came in second?
In that category, I would say it would have. You know what? Between Hugh Jackman and Bradley Cooper, I would say.
I would have loved to have seen Bradley Cooper because it was such a performance.
It was such a performance. And, you know, he's in another movie now with Jennifer Lawrence called Serena.
Yeah.
That's coming out this year, directed by Suzanne Bier. And, you know, I have a feeling that he's going to have a run of movies now. And this was his first bump. A lot of times you get your first nomination, and then you win your second or third.
Right. And I guess I could ask the same question. It seemed to be that we had Ty Burr on from the Boston Globe on Friday.
Sure.
And he said, you know, if he felt that if Ben Affleck had simply been nominated for Best Director, then Argo may not have picked up Best Picture.
Yes. I think that's astute analysis on Ty's part.
And then
that was like the thing that crystallized Argo winning Best Picture.
And although, when I look at it, I think, yes, there were other films, and I agree with you about Zero Dark Thirty. I love that film. However, when I think about what I demand from a film to completely enjoy it, entertainment is certainly up there. That I was thoroughly entertained from start to finish at Argo, where there were some very painful moments in Zero Dark Thirty, which doesn't make it a bad film. It just, if I had to give the nod between the two, I would probably go with Argo because the front end of it was so troubling of Zero Dark Thirty.
I understand that. You know, some of us are more masochistic.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
We want to be dragged through glass at some point. That's why we go see Amour. You know, Amour is just like, you know, the feel-bad movie of the year.
But it was also beautiful.
Also beautiful. And Emmanuel Riva's performance was wonderful.
Stunning. Absolutely stunning.
And, you know, I think Silver Linings Playbook, I don't really care how it comes out. It got, you know, it swept the Indie Spirit Awards on Saturday. And so everybody got their moment then. David O. Russell was like, you know, in the bosom of his independent family getting love.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a movie that's not only good the first time you see it, but it gets better.
I agree. I greatly enjoyed that film.
You know, one last thing, though. We have not discussed the Lincoln issue.
No, let us talk about the Lincoln issue.
Where do you stand on Lincoln?
Well, you know, I was the one that really surprised me was Tony Kushner not winning for adapted screenplay. And I say that because I thought the best thing it had going for it was the dialogue. And while there were moments that I felt it was way too long, while there were moments that I felt it was rather stiff, the two things I enjoyed about it, one, Daniel Day-Lewis's, I mean, just incredible performance, and two, was the words that he was saying,
right,
which were very consistent. I thought set a wonderful tone, not only from the book by Doris Kearns Goodwin, but
right,
also in that, you know, Cushian language.
Right. You know, once Lincoln started to fade.
Yeah.
He was going to get slapped down too.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we've been talking about this. I am not a fan of Lincoln. I enjoyed Daniel Day-Lewis's performance, although almost never was he in the same room with anybody else. Like, even when he's in the same room with Mary Todd Lincoln, they're not in the same film. There's not a connection in the way that De Niro is connected to everybody in Silver Linings Playbook.
That's very true.
In every scene.
No, you're absolutely right.
So I found that, thank you. I found that troubling.
Is that scene stealing? Is that what that is? Is that scene stealing? Is that what that is?
No, it's, I would have to say it's bad direction. I would have to say, like a conductor in an orchestra, you have to get everybody to play together on the same field. And they're not in, they're in different movies. Joseph Gordon-Levitt as his son is a completely different movie. Sally Fields as Mary Todd Lincoln, completely different movie. You know, and I don't know why, you know, since I'm not a director, I can't say why.
Right.
Why they weren't. But I think that Spielberg kind of, in my mind, serious Spielberg is death to me. There are Spielberg movies that I love, but he always is telling me what to think and feel. And I think his problem was that after he made the movie, there was no one at Disney who pulled him back and said, okay, you've made the movie, and we're going to get, you know, we got 12 Oscar nominations. Now, sit in the back seat.
Yeah.
And his desire to control it and his, you know, he just kept flailing it. And that moment at the Golden Globes when Bill Clinton comes on stage, you're like, you know, this is too much. And I think that that was the moment where Spielberg and Kushner started to waver. There was never a moment where Daniel Day-Lewis was not going to get that award.
Would you have loved to have been in the idea room when they said, let's match up Jack Nicholson and the First Lady of the United States?
That was like total crazy town. I just like, by that time, I was going into a show, so I was kind of half seeing it, because these crazy live streams, when they start right when the Oscars end, there's like a couple of minutes at the end where everything's happening, but you're running with, you know, your sound box on your hip. And, Michelle Obama, go home. I'm sorry. I live in the Hudson Valley. I know a lot of people are now throwing things at the radio, but take off your tiara and just be the First Lady. Like, I don't get this.
Yeah,
I guess, you know, the Bill Clinton thing struck me as wrong.
I thought it would have been cool had she been there, but I didn't even have problems with her doing what she did as much as I just thought it was odd to do it with Jack Nicholson.
it's the coupling that was odd.
Yeah, I found that to be very strange.
Well, it's inspiring now. I think I want to do a sitcom called Jack and the President's Wife. God, that would be good.
Well, it was sort of inexplicable of why she was in a gown, why those people were behind her. I didn't really understand the whole thing.
Were they like the accountants? The Secret Service?
Like they were overseeing the entire thing. It was very odd.
The funny thing would have been to have one of the daughters give it, given that the Cuvanchinet, if one of the daughters had a puppy purse and gave the award, that would have been fun.
That would have been great. That's a great idea.
What I think the problem is that there were probably a lot of great ideas, but there were a lot of people in the room. And it's hard to get a really great idea through when there's so many people involved.
Do you, and don't tell me because you were getting ready to go live that you missed the closing loser song.
I did miss the closing loser song. I have to catch up on it.
Yes.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was unfortunate, I thought. But
I thought the boob song was really... I was like, okay, this is something that, you know, we've written about. But something about him singing it with the gay men's choir... The thing about Argo that works is the tone. And from the moment that Seth MacFarlane stepped on stage... He knew he didn't have the tone right. He knew before he stepped on stage. And so he kept doing that thing where he was apologizing for jokes.
Yeah. I felt that he was apologizing almost the entire evening. It was sort of knew what the criticisms were going to be before they occurred. But which also seemed to me that he could have avoided it had he wanted to.
Right. Again, it's the less is more thing. Like... the Captain Kirk, when he comes in and shows him the future, that worked once.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sarah LaDuke, our wonderful producer, and I were talking about this morning. It just seemed like that whole thing just, it all went on too long. The sock puppet thing, just do it first, go to the dryer, and move on.
You know what? That was my other favorite part.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I loved the flight in sock puppets. I have a kind of a soft spot for sock puppets. So that to me, you know, I would say...
I'm learning so much about you.
I know. It's very educational. I would say if I could cut the whole thing, I would just watch Adele and the sock puppets.
Yeah.
And I would be happy. And, you know, with TiVo now, many people do that. I know people who watch, like, the first 15 minutes TiVo'd, watch the last 15 minutes, and then on Facebook said, so when I'm scrolling through, what should I stop for?
I have to say, there are moments there that I just didn't get, or things that went horribly wrong, and sometimes I wonder whether I'm just... You know how sometimes you're getting something through streaming and it just has like this digital glitch and it moves over like 10 seconds and you sort of miss the thread?
Right.
I swear to God that Paul Rudd, Melissa McCarthy animation thing, I just didn't get.
Well, you know, I hate to say this. This is not a technical issue.
Okay.
This is like, and, you know, Paul Rudd has a house in the Hudson Valley.
Well, we love him. Yeah.
But I was like, huh? This is like so unfunny.
I just didn't get it. And I felt like I missed something. And then thank God for Twitter. Because you suddenly realize, no, everyone sort of...
Everyone's going, huh? Yeah, that was a huh moment.
The other moment for me was when... did you hear when Jane Fonda... Jane Fonda comes up. She does a great job with... who's she with? Michael Douglas.
Because of that yellow dress she was wearing, it was shining so loudly.
She comes out and they're talking and they do great and they're amazing. They're both amazing. And then they go to the recording of her giving the nominees and she just sounded as though she had no voice. It was
odd.
It was very odd. Yeah, that was my other sort of huh moment.
Another hum moment is that ridiculous. The dance with Charlize Theron and Channing Tatum. It's like ballroom dancing moment.
I don't know what that was, but I could have watched it for a lot longer. I thought it was beautiful. I just have to say it was very entertaining. Had you given that to me like in the third hour, I would have said, all right, well, this is sort of worth staying up this late. But
you know who I felt bad for was when Norah Jones had to sing the song.
Oh, me too. Because everybody just wanted to go home.
That was the coldest room. Like no one, people did not like him, and
no.
They did not like his song, and she got up, and she had that really cute dress, and I felt like, oh, poor Norah, she has to come in, at, you know, everybody just wants to get out of there.
Thelma, I'm out of time. I apologize, okay. But I wish we could keep talking. You're wonderful. Thelma Adams is the Yahoo contributing editor, and you can also check out her great novel, Playdate. Thelma, we love you. Thank you very much for being with us.
A pleasure. And I'm going to enjoy a little bit of warm weather before I come back.
Okay, enjoy it, and then we'll welcome you back with open arms.
Lovely.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Joe.